Seated. Boy, think about those words you just sang. At the name of Jesus,
yes,
bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. Then it says, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. And boy, I don't know about you, but I hope the end of the journey is soon. And I mean for all of us. I just hope the trumpet of God will sound and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And boy, the sooner the better, you know, the sooner the better. Take your Bible, if you will, and open it to Genesis chapter 32. First book in the Bible, be easy to find, all right? First book of the Bible, right after the table of contents, all right? So it's easy. Genesis chapter 32. While you're turning there, let me give you one person to rejoice with. Ashley had her last cancer treatment on Friday, and boy, we're thankful for that. Keep praying now that when she's got a PET scan coming up that's going to be done and kind of see how things are overall. Man, I want you to pray God will make it come back clean, all right? And she'll be done with that cancer. I hope you'll pray with her towards that end. Also, if you would, a few of you might remember Brother Jerry Thedford. Brother Thedford was a member of our church years ago, and found out this morning he's having open heart surgery tomorrow down at Harris here in town. Jerry, I think, lives down south of town nowadays, so pray for him, if you would, all right? Pray for him. If you don't know him, it's okay to pray for him. You don't have to know people to pray for them, all right? So, good to remember Jerry Thedford. I know he'd appreciate it. I think his brother is worried about him, and his mom is too. So, pray for them. Good people. Good people. All right, you found Genesis 32. All right, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read a very, very short part, but I want to talk about what's in this chapter, all right? In this chapter, we have the account of Jacob. And Jacob's on the way back to Canaan, all right? He's on the way back. He had left. When he left, he was really running from his brother, running for his life, and was encouraged to leave, you know. And so he went up to Haran, and when he got there, he managed to get... Well, he's coming back now with two wives, a whole passel of young'uns. And only wanted one of the wives, but he got two of them, all right? He's got all kinds of problems and troubles, but the main trouble is he knows he's kind of between, you know, where he is, that he's fixing to meet Esau, and he had conspired to cheat Esau out of his birthright, and because of that, you know, he was a little bit worried about it. Now, he had done all he could in advance to arrange that meeting with Esau so it'd come out in his favor. But we find our text in verse 24. The Bible said, and Jacob was left alone. And Jacob was left alone. I told you, just read a short passage this morning. Man, you talking about alone, Jacob was alone. He was all alone. He was in a mess. He couldn't afford to go back to where he had been, all right, to his father-in-law's house. He really wasn't welcome there anymore. To go where he wanted to get to, he had to go through Esau. He had to meet Esau. And I've already said he was concerned, scared for his life. And if anybody could have ever been lonely, it was Jacob. It was Jacob, all right? He was. No one on earth to comfort him that night. Now, I won't ask you, you ever been lonely? Maybe you've felt like, hey, I've been forsaken by everybody on the earth. Maybe you got to the point you felt like David, where David said, no man cared for my soul. You know, if you've ever been there, maybe seemingly without a friend. If you've ever been in that situation, not very pleasant situation, not a good experience. But this morning, if I could, just for a little bit, I want to speak just a word or two in favor of loneliness. And in favor of being alone. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against friends and friendship. I like friends. I'm not against comrades and camaraderie, okay, at all. I'm not against buddies and bonding. I'm in favor of all of that. But I just want you to know sometimes it's a blessing. And a blessing is to be found in times of loneliness. And you can't get it anywhere else. It do you well occasionally to get alone. To get alone, all right? Because oftentimes it's when you're alone that God shows up. And that's exactly what happened here. We read there in the first part of verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now that man was no ordinary man. That man, I believe with all my heart, was a son of God. And he wrestled with Jacob that night. So let's talk just a little bit about when you're alone, all right? Number one, I want you to see this. When you're alone, you can find out things from God. When you're alone, you can find out things from God. You say, preacher, how do you figure that? Well, take your Bible. Let's go to the New Testament, to the book of Mark, okay? The Gospel of Mark. If you get to the New Testament, first book there is Matthew. The next one is the book of Mark. If you get to Luke or John or Acts, you've gone too far. You need to back up. But I want you to look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read two verses in Mark chapter 4. And I want you to see, they illustrate what I mean when I say when you're alone, you can find out things from God. You can find out things from God. It's possible to do it. Mark chapter 4, look if you will, verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Look down, if you will, in verse 34. Verse 34, same chapter, says, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Hey, it was when they were alone with Jesus that the disciples were taught the most. When they were alone. I mean, they were by themselves that they could concentrate on what the Lord Jesus Christ had for them. Hey, I'll tell you this, it's when you're alone that you can listen the best. Now, I'm not saying you do, but you can. You can listen the best when you're alone. Why? Well, all the distractions are gone. All the distractions are gone. You know what it is to be at home when you're used to a bunch of people being around? And then one night comes, and night usually is that time where you won't feel the loneliest. You get there and turn off the television, and you begin to hear sounds you've never heard before. Maybe you're laying there in the bed, you know. Nobody else there. You haven't fallen asleep. And like I say, you begin to hear sounds that you never heard, and you think, was that normal? Now, if you're real skittish, you go, somebody trying to get in. Go around, check all the doors, make sure they're locked, you know. Hey, it's when you're alone. It's when you're alone. All those distractions are removed. Sometimes that's when God can get, you can get things from him you not get. Hey, I believe with all my heart, that's why sometimes God has to fix it up to get you alone so he can teach you. So you'll listen to him. Now, you say, well, how does that happen? Well, sometimes maybe it's through disease. Sometimes maybe it's through some kind of injury, some kind of illness. Hey, man, you get stretched out, laying flat on your back on in that bed in the hospital. Now, there may be a bunch of people in that hospital, but you're alone. You're alone. Hey, I'll tell you, maybe God has to do that to get your attention, okay? Hey, don't despair when you're alone, but take advantage of that time. Take advantage of that time to let God speak to you. You say, well, wait a minute, am I supposed to just sit there and wait on the voice? No. Open this book. Open this book. Because you study best when you're alone. Now, we've had a Christian school for 46 years and 5 weeks. We just finished the 5th week of this year. And I tell you, kids are amazing. They'll come, hey, can I study with so-and-so? Can I study with so-and-so? You can let them study together for 2 hours. And when they come back, you ask them questions. I don't know. Well, I thought you said you wanted to study. Hey, exactly what were you studying, all right? Hey, I'll tell you what, the truth of the matter is we study best alone. And when I say that you can get things from God when you're alone, I don't mean sit there and wait on this voice to boom down from heaven to you. That's not going to happen. But if you'll open this book up, you'll open this book up and begin to read that Bible. Boy, I'll tell you, reading the Bible can be so profitable when you're alone. You just open it up and read it. I'll sometimes, when I'm at home by myself, but I'll go out on the patio when the weather's decent and I'm not having to swat mosquitoes, all right? I'll open my Bible up out there, and man, it just seems like when I'm out there, God really speaks to me. Hey, but if you'll do that and take that time, God wants to teach you some things. Don't miss it. You say, well, I'm all alone. Open your Bible. I heard a guy on the radio this week, now not a preacher or somebody, and he said, you know, I used to get lonely, and then I realized as a Christian, I'm never alone. The Lord's always with me. But boy, in this whole world, when we get everybody around us, we get distracted and we forget He's there. We forget to listen to Him. Boy, don't do that. It's when you're alone that you can find out things from God. Open that book up and read it. Hey, it's when you're alone, God really finds out things about you. Finds out things about you. You say, what do you mean? Go take your Bible to the next book over, the book of Luke, would you? Luke chapter 9. It's when you're alone that God finds out things about you. Luke chapter 9, if you will, I want you to drop down to verse 18. Verse 18. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. Hey, sometimes as when you're alone, the Lord finds out things about you. He finds out things about you. When Jesus was alone with those disciples, he talked to them. He found out what they thought about him. He found out, he said, all right, what do the people say? And they gave him the answer. And he said, well, okay, now, how about you? How about you? And boy, old Peter spoke up. He said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. In another account, it says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, I'll tell you what, you hadn't figured it out. That is who he is. But I just ask you this, what does the Lord find out about you when you're alone? When you're alone. Hey, I tell you this, he finds out what you think about him as he watches what you do when you're alone. Now remember, I said this, you're never really alone. Because you're never at a point in this life where God does not see you. And if you're a child of God, if you've been born again, he's always with you. He's always with you. He's promised, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But wait a minute, if he's there, what does he see you doing? What does he see you doing? I mean, just what are you up to? Would you do the same thing if you knew? You stop to consider he's watching. He is here. He is present. Would you continue to do that same thing, or would you do differently? Would you act differently if you knew, hey, he's watching me? You know, I've always said this. I've preached this to young people for years. Your character is revealed by what you do when you're by yourself and when you think no one is watching. When you think nobody's watching, when you think there's nobody sees you, and you'll do things that you would not do if you knew somebody was watching. Well, wait a minute. That reveals exactly what you really are. What you really are. If you would take something, maybe in a store. Nowadays, you got to be careful. There's cameras everywhere. But if you'd still in a store and you'd reach out and you'd take something and looking around and sticking in your pocket and walk out with it, I'll tell you what that reveals about you. You're a thief. You say, well, wait a minute. Let me give you the circumstance. It doesn't matter. You're a thief. You're a thief. Now, you can try to justify it, but you're a thief. All right? Hey, I'm just saying your character is revealed when you're alone. When you're alone. It shows some things. The Lord learned some things about you by watching you when you're alone. Now, I want you to think. I don't want you to answer this question out loud, but what does he see you do? What does he see you do when you're alone? God help us, all right? Hey, but let me move to the third point. Not only can you get things from God when you're alone, and not only does God find out things about you when you're alone, but it's when you're alone you get things from God. You get things from God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Hey, when Jacob was alone with God, he got the blessing. We didn't read the rest of the chapter there in chapter 32. The Bible said he wrestled until the daylight with that man. That man was the God man, but if you read the chapter, you'll find that Jacob said, I'm not turning loose until you bless me. Jacob wrestled with God. He was alone, and he did it alone. He got the blessing from God. Hey, it was when Moses was alone with God, he got the tables of stone. God gave them to him. He was alone with God. It was when he was alone with God that Moses got to see the promised land. He didn't get to enter it, but he got a tour of it from the top of the mountain. The Bible said God showed it to him, all of it. Now, God had to have increased Moses' eyesight to do that. And he allowed him to see all of it, man, all of it from the mountain. He showed it to him. Why? He was alone with God, and God showed it to him when he was alone with him. Hey, it was when Abraham was alone with God that he received the marvelous covenant from God. And God said, I'm going to bless you, and I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. I'll make your descendants as the sand of the sea. And he said, I'm going to give you this land for an inheritance. Hey, that was when he was alone with God. He was alone with God. Now, all those are good things, but can I remind you, it was when Jonah was alone with God that he got straightened out. Man, he had been thrown overboard, swallowed by the whale, and he's in the belly of that whale, and then he decided, you know, I better listen to God. God had spoke to him before, and Jonah said, I ain't paying attention to you. I'm going to do my own thing. So, but when he was alone with God, he changed his tune and he decided, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want. Hey, you get some things when you're alone with God. Hey, the first thing you get is grace. It's when you're alone with God, alone with him, that grace comes in. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Take your Bible to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, there's a very famous, well-known story here in John chapter 8. I mean, people that don't go to church, never been to church, never read the Bible, have heard of this account that's here in John chapter 8. This is the account when they brought that woman to Jesus who was taken in adultery. They brought her to him and looking to find something to accuse Jesus with, not really concerned about the woman at all. But she was there, by the way, never denied her guilt, never said, I'm innocent, nothing like that. But I want you to see what happens when she gets alone with God. John chapter 8, look, if you will, verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. It's just Jesus now and that woman. Just those two. It was right there when they were alone that that woman got the saving grace of God. You read that next verse. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Hey, what a blessing. The grace of God extended to this sinner. Just like the grace of God was extended to this sinner right here. Freely given. But it was when I was alone with God. Let me say this to you. Salvation is just you and Jesus Christ. It's just you and Jesus Christ. No man can do it for you. Nobody can. Now, people can direct you, they can guide you, they can point you, but it's you and Jesus Christ. Just you and Him. Look, the lost man, the man without Christ, has a need. Has a need. As David said, and I quoted earlier, he said, "No man cared for my soul." We read the account of the prodigal son. Now, I want you to turn over there with me to Luke 15. We're not in a hurry, right? Y'all will be all right if you're second in line at the restaurant, okay? Luke chapter 15. I want you to look, if you will, Luke 15. Look down to verse 16. Here's part of the account of the prodigal son. The prodigal son came to his dad and said, "Hey, I want you to give me that money. I want you to give me the inheritance. What's coming to me?" And he took it. The Bible said he went out and he wasted it. We're good at wasting. And he wasted all of it. But I want you to notice in verse 16, "And when he would have fain, when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat." Now notice, "and no man gave unto him." Hey, he was alone. Nobody to give to him. Nobody. Hey, listen, that's where you are in salvation. You can come to everybody in the world and ask them for it. They can't give it to you. You can go to the priest today and make confession if you want to, and you can pay them or however it works. It'll do you no good because that priest can't help you. You can come to this preacher and you can ask me, but I can pray for you. I can pray with you. But I want to tell you, when it comes to salvation, it's you and him. It's you and him. It's nobody else. It's not the church. It's not the baptistry. It's you and the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And you admitting, "Hey, here I am. I'm a sinner." And it's all about what you're going to do with him. You said, "Well, I don't know what he's going to do with me." I'll tell you, he's already done it. He's already done what he said he would do. So what did he do? Well, he went to the cross. He paid your sin debt. Hey, he died for you. Do you understand that? He died for you. It was your sin that he went to the cross. It was your sin that he took. It was my sin that he took. And he paid for our sin. And he comes to us and he says today, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's paid the debt. It's not what he's going to do. It's what are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with him? Not asking you to trust the church. Not telling you to get baptized. I'm telling you, you need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to take him as your Savior. You need to meet him. Realize one-on-one, you with him. Now, somebody can open the Bible and take you through the Word of God and show you what the Scriptures say, and I've done that numerous times, many, many times. But it's still up to that individual. They need to pray. That individual has to say, "It's me, Lord. I need you." Hey, when you're alone, you get things from God. You get saving grace. But let me say this to you, Christian. It's when you're alone that you get that sustaining grace. Sustaining grace. That grace that gets you through. Man, if you haven't come to a time in life where you are facing a mountain or maybe going through a great deep valley and you think, "How am I going to get through this? I don't know if I can make it." Well, you can't by yourself. But I'll tell you this. There's a God in heaven that'll give you sustaining grace. Paul, under the inspiration of God, God told him this. And Paul wrote it down for us. God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace. His grace is sufficient for you. You're facing a battle. You're facing a trial. Hey, his sustaining grace will get you through. Boy, we need that grace. Oftentimes we need it when there's a death. The death of a loved one. I've had people say to me, and they knew their loved one, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a parent, maybe even a child. They would say to me, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. Well, I'm sure glad I could look them in the eye and say, God will give you grace you need. There's some of you sitting here, you've been there, you know what it's like. You know what it's like to have that grace bestowed upon you. He'll get you through. Hey, let me say this to you. When the time comes for you to depart this life, he'll give you dying grace too. I believe that. He'll give you dying grace. I don't fear death, but I don't look forward to dying. Do y'all understand the difference? Dying is sort of a process, you know. And I don't know. I really hope to go like my mom did. Bam, gone, all right? I mean, out of here. That's what I'm doing. Like Brother Curtis. Brother Curtis was asleep in his recliner. Hallelujah, what a way to go, all right? Just laying back there. Hey, I think he was watching TV the way I watch TV, with my eyes closed, all right? You know, and man, he just slipped out of this life. That's a good way to go. But man, you know, I'm not guaranteed it's going to be that way. It's that dying process I don't look forward to. Death, though, I'm not worried about death. Hey, but listen, I'll tell you this. He'll give you sustaining grace if you need it. It's when you're alone you need that. But also, he'll give you strengthening grace. Strengthening grace. He said, what do you mean? I mean the grace to give you the strength to get through the trials of this life. He'll give them to you. Yeah, man, you need it sometimes, all right? We go through trouble. We face problems. You say, well, nobody's faced problems I have. I don't know if that's true or not. But we face difficulties. We times of distress. And maybe pressure. And not distress, but just stress. Can I tell you this? There's a God in heaven that'll give you strengthening grace to get you through that. He's able to strengthen you. He's able to strengthen you. You don't have to get defeated by that. He'll get you through it, my friend. But hey, you get it when you're alone with him. It's not when you're in the crowd. You get it when you're by yourself. Hey, it's alone with him that you get guidance. Guidance. It's not when you're in the crowd. You know what happens to us when we get in the crowd? Boy, there's huge pressure put on you when you're in the crowd. Huge pressure put upon you when you're in the crowd. And most people have a tendency to go with the flow. If everybody's, you know, I can't tell you how many times I had teenagers especially tell me, well, everybody's doing it. Well, okay, that makes it all right, sure. No, that doesn't make it okay. Hey, if you get in the middle of a riot, everybody there's throwing bricks through windows and, you know, setting fire to things. Can I say this to you? Doesn't make it right? Still wrong? Breaking in and stealing stuff, doesn't want, it's wrong. No justification for it. Well, hey, wait a minute. Look what he did. Doesn't matter what he did. We're talking about what you're doing. Man, we get this crazy idea sometimes. Hey, listen, you hear me. God's guidance comes to us when we're alone because most of us who are in the crowd won't listen. We don't listen. But man, if we'll get alone with God and pray, get that guidance you need. You got decisions coming up. You got choices to make. You say, I'm not sure what to do. Pray about it. Pray about it. Ask God for the peace about the decision. Ask him to lead you and guide you. He said, he won't do it. Well, you haven't tried it. Because I guarantee you he'll do it. And tell you, hey, but you got to get alone with him. You got to get alone with him. It's hard to hear in that big crowd. It's hard to hear. You get away from that crowd sometime. Get alone with God. Let him deal with you. Let him guide you. Hey, it's when you're alone, it's when you're alone that you find out things from God. It's when you're alone that he finds out things about you. Hey, it's when you're alone that you get things from God. Now you hear me. It's going to be alone with him at judgment that's going to bring your reward in judgment. The Bible says we're all going to stand before God in judgment. You're going to stand in one of two places. You, as a Christian, as his child, you'll stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. As a lost individual who's neglected to take Christ as their Savior, you'll stand before him at the great white throne judgment. But you will be judged at one of those two places. But when you stand, it will be alone. Alone. All those running buddies you've got, they're not going to be with you when you stand before God. It's just going to be you and God. You said, well, wait a minute. The Bible says he's our advocate. He's my lawyer. But he's going to be your judge that day. He's going to be your judge. Now, he's your advocate right now. But when you stand before him, he's going to be your judge. The Bible said we must all appear there. Nobody to stand with you. Hey, nobody to testify for you. Just you. It's you. You say, well, I'm going to bring some character witnesses. No, don't need them. Because God knows you, buddy. God knows. There's nobody there that can spice it over and you know, just kind of slide over what you've done and try to explain, well, we're going to stand there before God. Nobody's going to be able to cover it up. You've heard me stand here and jokingly say to you, hey, I got in almost trouble because my brother did things and he got me into trouble. And the truth of the matter is there's going to be no justice. I'm not going to stand before God and say, Lord, is that brother you gave me? I'm not going to stand before God and say, well, Lord, if you'd gave me a better wife. Not going to stand before God and say, but if I'd had better friends, I'm going to stand before God to give an account for me. For me. Not somebody else. Nobody's going to testify for me. No character witnesses. None to justify me. It's just going to be me and the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge. Now you hear me. It's just going to be you and the judge standing before him. Nobody else. Nobody else. Just you. Hey, I got a question for you. How will it be for you then? How will it be for you then? Now, you know, if you don't think of anything else, would you think about that right now? How will it be for you then? First of all, what about eternity? Are you going to be able to plead and say, well, Lord, I trusted you as my Savior. Hey, if you did that, you're in good shape for eternity. And you may not be in good shape for rewards because you may not have served him much. You say, well, all I care about is just getting to heaven. I know you say that now, but I got news for you. I believe when you stand before God, you're going to wish. You're going to wish there was some reward. You're going to look back and there's going to be, if you've not served him, you're going to look back with regret. Regret. That you wasted all of your life. He said, well, preacher, it's too late. No, it's not. You're still alive. You're still breathing. There's still opportunity. Still opportunity. Well, I can't do anything. He said, if you'll just give a cup of water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. Come on, you telling me you can't give a cup of water? You telling me you can't lift the... I'm telling you, you can. There's something you can do. Hey, I'm preaching to you now because we need to do something about the future. Okay? We need to do something about the future. I'm not here to make you feel bad about the past. But I am here to make you say, hey, you know, we can change this future. We can change the future. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never trusted him, And let's be honest, if you were to die, you do not know absolutely positively you'd go to heaven. Now's time to change that. Now's time to change that. We're going to give an invitation in just a moment. We're going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to sing a song. Ms. Noble's going to play the piano. Brother Marion's going to lead an invitation to him. We're going to sing Just As I Am Without One Plea. You said, how do I know? Because I just told him that's what we're going to sing, all right? So that's what we're going to sing, Just As I Am Without One Plea, all right? And we're going to invite people to come. You're here without Christ. You've never been born again. You don't know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Please don't walk out that door that way. We invite you to come. I'll be standing right there to meet you. Would you just come? And so I don't know what to do. Just come. Meet me there. And say, preacher, I need to trust Christ. Just do that. And I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you. And we'll give it plenty of time. Because I want you to be able to ask every question you want to do. You said it's embarrassing. Don't be embarrassed. Everybody here that's saved is rejoicing and hoping and praying you'll come. And the rest of them don't count, all right? We don't care what they think. Because we care about you. We want you to trust the Savior today. I don't want you to leave here without Christ. Hey, you say, preacher, everybody here thinks I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I don't care what everybody thinks. It's what you know. And what God knows. Would you take him as your Savior today? Would you just meet him, just you and him? Would you do it? Christian, you're here this morning. The truth of the matter is, if you were to be caught up from here and have to stand before him in judgment today, there would be very little reward. It doesn't need to continue that way. You still have opportunity to serve the Lord. Well, look at the years I wasted. Let's look at what you've got, opportunity you have now. Let's look at the opportunity you have now. Maybe you need to come. Maybe there's some sin in your life needs to be dealt with. In that case, don't come talk to me. Come get along with God. Just humble yourself. Come kneel at one of these front steps or sit at one of these front pews or kneel at one of them and just do business with God. Oh, listen, his invitation to you is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't need to leave here without it. You just need to get alone with God. Would you do it this morning? Would you stand, please, every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father.